following interview was conducted on behalf of the oral history program of the Washington County Museum and Century High School. The interviewee is Ken Skipper. The interviewer is Stacy Elkins and Erica Newton. The interview took place at Jesuit High School on May 25th, 2001. Okay, so can you tell me about your experiences in Hillsboro during the Vietnam War?
Well, let's see. I came to Hillsboro as a first year teacher when I was junior high. And I taught that whole year. So that was in 1968-69. And then in August of 1969, I received my draft notice. And so basically, about September 23rd of that year, I was drafted.
What years were you teaching, actually, during the war?
Well, like I said, 69 was my first year of teaching, so I was in college for the 4 years previous to that, and I don't remember when they say the Vietnam War started, but somewhere
64.
Yeah, 64. So I graduated from high school in 64, and I graduated from college in 68, so that was in that. That was in my first year of teaching. So then I got out in 70, summer of 70. When did they say it?
73.
Okay, so then I taught 2 years. I went back to Pointer and I taught 2 more years there in 73. So I guess I was teaching 3 years at Pointer during that time.
Were the students, at what point did the students become aware of the war, if at all?
A long time to remember. I mean, what happened was that there was kind of a growing awareness as people became more concerned about the war, because it wasn't ending, we weren't getting anywhere. And about the time that my last couple of years in college was sort of being 65, 66, 67. And then it became more and more of an issue, I think, for college. I was in college, but for college students. But by the time I came to Hillsboro to teach, I think there was, quite a bit of awareness, even among, that was junior high, with the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders at that point. Even among those kids who were well aware of the war, they didn't have any kind of years of concern about it that I did, because it so personally impacted me at that time. So my feelings and awareness of it were a lot higher than theirs were.
Were there student feelings of pro-war or anti-war? Or?
Yes, but remember, this was in junior high, so it wasn't anything. I don't remember anything protest like there was going on in college, that sort of thing at the time. I'd say the thing that I noticed the most is more the impact of the fashion and also the beginning of questioning authority. The 50s was not a time of questioning authority much and that sort of thing. And this is true for me personally as well, that, I just did what I was told, and did the right thing, and that sort of thing. But when we're talking about is being a big, a lot of skepticism about authority and government. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have read about that. But, you know, that's very, very I don't even know if I answered your question.
So, like, what type of fashion things were there? Just like clothing?
Well, what, I mean, you know, the real obvious one is long hair is the big issue at the time. You know, they've got to get a, you know, annual, see what I looked like at that time. Because I had a full beard and, you know, big long hair and, you know, and that sort of thing. And when I was there in my first year, that was when I got back from doing the service, when that, for me, that's kind of when it got Hillsborough. When I was, and that was a time when schools were fighting those issues, you know, and the clothes that you wear, or, and I can remember getting in trouble for wearing sandals without socks, you know, and that sort of thing. So it was kind of an interesting time, kind of like now, except it's just different. Different issues, you know, that they're trying to keep people wearing certain things or whatever. Around here, where it's stricter, it's that city, you know, that's true, a century as well, as there any discussions?
Not really, just with Potter, just saying, you know, don't wear anything too revealing,
right.
Stuff about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Did you have, like, any other family members or close friends going, like, back to Vietnam?
Well, yeah, I had friends, in a sense, one of my immediate family, and I say, both my parents were in World War II, both of them were not in World War II, but, then I was really the only one, you know, my immediate family that drafted me. It was a very difficult situation. I had just, my wife and I had just got married in April, and she was pregnant with our first child when this notice came, and that sort of thing. So, and I don't know if you know the background of this whole thing, but it was right at that time when they started going to the lottery. I had a college diploma, and I had a family, or a married diploma, that gave the permit to keep out of the draft, and that sort of thing. So you had to go through this process out of the draft. And what happened was, and probably rightly so, they started removing those diplomas because they found that they were discriminatory, and that the rich people, the people that could go to college and that sort of thing, were getting all the deferments, and the poor people were all getting sent to Vietnam and get killed, you know, essentially. And so they started taking those deferments away, and then they decided, well, there needed to be some fair way to do things. So then there's some numbers that we read about that they had a big lottery. And that started 2 months after I got drafted. So we bought all the logos. We actually went to Canada. We heard about people going to Canada and that sort of thing. We actually went to Canada in, you know, August and September, which was the time I had to report, actually in September, to check out whether I could get a job there. And in September, the teachers, they had filled all their teaching positions at that time, so there was just no job. I remember there was a French home ec combination up in some podunk place, either of which I was qualified. But I tell you that because it was real traumatic. My family were against it, not going to end, but then giving up and everything. It was a tough personal mentality. To be honest with you, I was so wrapped up in my college after me personally. It was such a big traumatic time in my life that I had trouble remembering what was going on. With regard to the dealer at this point, you know, the last, you know, questions I mean, I'm starting to do this. I think we started talking about fashion, I'm on that. But, you know, you asked about fashion. Bell bottoms were big. I'm sure there's any wire rim glasses or glasses with no rims, and, you know, the John Lennon kind of a rough kind of thing. Come on. I don't know. It's probably wrong. Maybe pop that might be a little bit.
How did people react to, like, veterans coming back to Hillsboro?
I don't remember I think Hillsboro's always been pretty darn supportive of military efforts and that sort of thing. I remember going to the 4th of July, the 4th of July parade, always with a military presence there. I can remember when they used to go to town and shoot machine gun blanks and people would cheer and bring a tank through or something like that sort of thing. So I think there was, you know, basically pretty, especially at that time, a conservative place. I don't think veterans were being a Vietnam vet, it wasn't like being World War II vet, as you well know. But when I was in the service and when I got out, criticism became so high for that war that you sure weren't a hero when you came back in the way, shape, or form. In fact, I worked in a psychiatric hospital in Denver with soldiers that were coming back that were either drug affected or war affected, or were just kind of safe to get out. You know, a lot of that going on too. So as far as conducting the question, Hillsboro, you know, Vietnam vets coming back did not, I don't think, got a hero's welcome by any means there, but I think because there was a pretty the war went on, and my experience to get drafted into it, but I was just critical of the war as anybody by the time I got out. And so I didn't expect to be a hero or anything of that sort.
Was there like a fear of, like, when you were drafted, of actually going, having to go through the Vietnam?
Definitely. Once I decided to let them draft me, you know, there's all kinds of strategies at that time to stay out of the war, from trying to get conscientious objector status to having some kind of physical ailment. I actually went to the doctor and had some tests done to try to get physically out of it, and that didn't work. Or to join the National Guard, something that don't go to Vietnam, which is another strategy, to go to Canada, another strategy. And so we were all, you know, working hard to first get out of the military so they didn't have to go to Vietnam. Then once you got drafted, which was my situation, then you tried not to get sent to Vietnam. That's my situation. There were people that were gung-ho, you know, wanted to go further than that. I didn't want to go in, I didn't want to go to Vietnam, and I didn't want to win the war. So my choices were Canada, jail, or the service with really good potential of going to Vietnam. Because most everybody, that's why they were drafted, people would go to Vietnam. And I lucked out because I had just about finished my master's degree in counseling at that point. I was able to feel the military, you know, thinking that I was qualified to work in a psychiatric hospital. The people that were making those judgments had less knowledge of that than I did. I actually apply to be a work therapist because I thought that was a counselor and I knew they didn't go to Vietnam. I figured they wouldn't be doing work therapy in Vietnam, you know? So I applied to be an occupational therapist. I don't even know what an occupational therapist is. They do arts and crafts and stuff in hospitals and people that are sick. I thought that meant that it would help us with their career. You know, I was just doing it. But I thought, well, they wouldn't be doing that in Vietnam. And I've almost got my master's in counseling, so I'll apply to be an occupational therapist. I did. And they awarded me that job. They didn't send me to the training field. They gave me an occupational therapist in the Army, and they sent me to Denver. And so my strategy worked, except when I got to the hospital down there, I didn't know a thing about occupational therapy. I was actually assigned to a hospital to be first in class patient, but I'm not very first in class. But anyway, I got out of the military, and that's a long way of answering the question of, you know, yeah, we tried hard to keep going to Vietnam, and I happened to be successful, but 99% of the people that got drafted didn't go in right into infantry in artillery and got sent over there and went to the basic training, and it's called AIT, which is advanced individual training. I think it's something to learn how to kill people.
With the veterans that came back from Vietnam, did you notice like an immediate change in like their personalities, like mentally, or was it like after a long time period that started to happen?
Well, my experience with it was really unique because I worked in that psychiatric hospital, so what happened, when they saw that I wasn't an occupational therapist, they assigned me to do what I had been training in, and was working for, mental disorders. Drugs affecting people and that sort of thing. And they had tons of those people coming back from Vietnam. And I worked in the Army Hospital in Denver. And so my experience was kind of an immediate, very immediate drug issues and very immediate psychological crises, issues, plus psychiatric support for people that were facing those issues. And that was part of my job to try to determine whether they were. So my experience is more immediate, and I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the veterans that things came back, you know, later to haunt them and that sort of thing. And I wasn't in Vietnam, so I didn't experience that personally. I've read about it in the paper. I really haven't known anybody personally, but I think it's real evidence of people that have kind of been struggling all their life with the Vietnam War because of the trauma and stuff that they've been through.
Going back to like the whole drug thing, was there like, you know, drug use like in the schools or like at the high schools and stuff?
Yeah, it was drug use. I mean, it was, you know, smoking pot, especially when I was sort of, at least in my lifetime, I kind of think that was the beginning of pot smoking. And that was the big thing that came on during that period of time. And from that, obviously, the New Ashbury, San Francisco stuff, you probably have read about or heard about it. And that graduated into LSD and all the other things that are still with it. But drug use in the military was, I would say, out of control. During the time that I was in there. And drug use in school, when I got back in the early 70s, I began to see that. And again, I was a counselor. I came back as a counselor at Pointer, and we had drug issues the first year back. And I think through the 70s, especially, drug issues were a problem. And I, you know, I didn't know today they still are, but
Do you know anything like about it so high that one day moratorium I think that's what it's called?
Nope.
Or like
where during this time that had them? Yeah. Do you know what the date of it was?
Okay.
I went, I can't even remember what year. I taught at Pointer for about 2 or 3 years until the 70s when I got back. And then I transferred to Hill High. And I was there then for and to be honest with you, he could have had my work like that. Even while I was there, I might not remember at this point. My guess is, though, it would have happened more likely like between 16 and 75 or something, you know what I mean? Somewhere in that range, because that was the highest. Was the moratorium on what?
What was it? It was about protesting the war. I think teachers were going to keep it in school after that or something.
Oh.
Or something had something to do with that.
Hmm. Well, I know when I was there, it was because of its grade, you know, the school I knew Chenard was very skeptical about it. The war is connected to the mission. They kind of got the hill trail. It was the 70s, you know. And even when I taught in the late 70s, we taught that, so I would choose that we had mini courses where we taught the 6 week long high interest kind of courses. We switch classes all the time, you know. And that was all a part of students saying that they wanted to be more meaningful, usable information.
Did you notice like any religious changes in the time? Like, did people practice more religion than us last?
Well, I'll speak to that in 2 days. Generally speaking, and like I told you before, I have a tendency to forget the general stuff that we've been so long ago, but I think it goes back to this authority and skepticism about authority, and church and government fell right into that. So young people, especially, kind of grew, you know, a larger part of the population. Began to just question everything, everything to do with authority, you know, God and country that's right in there, you know. So yes, I think that young people especially, less frequently question things more than ever before in my life, I'm sure. And I know from a personal experience, situation that impacted me. I had been raised in a real strict Catholic upbringing. And when this happened to me, when I got drafted, it had tremendous impact on me all the way around, because I don't know if it's right to feel this way, but it's the way I felt that I had done the right thing through all my life, you know, I was paid the way I was supposed to, and went to college and got married and, you know, got a job and that sort of thing. All of a sudden, kind of like committed a crime, that came in and said, you know, you go to Vietnam, you go to jail. And I guess, even though it was always hanging over my head, I never believed that any of this happened, but it did. And then from then on, I questioned, just like I'm sitting here, I really was one of those people that just began to question religion, government, and everything else that went on. It's remained with me. Day I've been a part of the church doing things, but it was a major impact on my life personally. And I think it's easier for me to tell you that than to tell you about the general feeling at that time, because I kind of lost what I remember. I remember teaching what was going on during that time, you know, the good stuff you already know.
Is there like anything else that you would want to tell us to think about?
since your research is really focused on what was going on in Hillsboro, Desertion in the time of Vietnam, and I'm just about finished with it, but this is about a guy that almost the exact same time that I did went to Canada. He went to Fort Lewis just like I did for basic training. He left Fort Lewis during basic training during the Christmas break and went to Canada and deserted. And when you do that, you know, it's just the back of the country ever. You know, like get arrested, go to jail. And anyway, he became, he was, at the time, he was a writer for the Herald in Miami or something. He was only 20, 21 years old or something. But anyway, he's gone to Canada and has booked a museum of this writer in Canada now for major events. Right now, this book just more than on his life of deserving. I found it interesting because it was just exactly what I was doing at that time. And I think it just came out when I wanted to. But I don't know what else to tell you. I think I know that the whole Vietnam thing for me was, I think, one of the major turning points in my life. Had tremendous impact on molding who I am. Even though I hardly ever talk about Vietnam now, it's just part of me going from what I was considering when I was a kid to being starting to question everything and wonder, not just taking it, but just, and that was, I think, that during that time of studying, people really need some young people to feel great pride in, you know, being a leader all the time, you know, questioning. We've gotten a little away from that now, I think. Not as much, but I think some kind of that tremendous impact on me.
Thank you.